His life was revolutionized. You see, we are country club mentality people. So let's not act like we have it all together. And let's pretend that Lakeside is a place where maybe somebody could meet Jesus. Are you satisfied? I'm beginning to see the light.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you. The weather's so beautiful outside. If I had the power to be in any leadership in me whatsoever, we'd be outside right now, but I don't. So glad to have each and every one of you. If you're visiting, it's great to have you with us today. My name's Dave Heisterkamp, one of the pastors on staff here. I'm just going to get it out of the way right away. Congratulations, Hawkeyes. Okay. Some of you probably bought a Hawkeye shirt last night after the game, probably. You know, no, that's sour grapes. You outplayed us. So I got that out of the way. But on a more serious note, even before we dive into the scriptures today, as happens from time to time, just doing life, and it's part of life. Death has touched our church family a couple of different times this week, tragically. Blake Wolfswinkel and Sarah, his wife, Blake's brother, died in a plane crash this week in southern Iowa. And so I want to certainly pray for Blake and his family. And then, as many of you heard, if you're from Polk City, Mike Nelson passed away in a fire not too far away from where a number of us live, a neighbor I would call him. And so his wife Michelle and their two girls Maddie and Grace could use our prayers here this morning. So let me just start with a word of prayer and ask God to bless those families. Father, thank you for all that you do. And Lord, I want to thank you in the midst of just thinking about these tragic events this week with the death of Blake's brother in this random plane crash, and then the death of Mike, Michelle's husband, in this random fire. And Lord, your word says, and it becomes so clear to us, that life is but a vapor. And Lord, so we would just, on behalf of Blake and Sarah, the rest of the family, the four children that were left behind, Lord, we just pray that you would lift up the family and that you would bless them and encourage them. And the same for Michelle and Maddie and Grace, Lord, would you just, and the rest of the family, would you just lift them up and encourage them? Lord, if there was a way for Lakeside somehow to just reach out and be your arms and your help and your gentle voice and your grace in their lives, I pray that you would put it on our hearts to do that very thing. So Lord, we come this morning. We ask that you would speak to us through your word. Each and every one of us needs to hear from you. I need to hear from you. We need you, Lord, and we thank you again for your goodness. In Christ's precious name, amen. Well, we're in a short, maybe 7-8 week study on the gifts, the body of Christ, and the importance of the believers in the body of Christ functioning as God has planned you to function. And so if you take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 12, or there's an insert in your Bible, if you didn't bring a Bible today, that's okay. The scripture will be up here on the screen as well. We opened up this passage last week, and we're going to look at one specific gift each of the next 6 or 7 weeks. Today's gift that God gives to believers, maybe not every believer, but for this particular gift, a high percentage of believers, is, from my perspective, the most important gift for the functioning of the body of Christ. From where I sit, and as I look back at what God has done at Lakeside, and as I see the building going up, by the way, have you been by Bridge Road and you've seen the steel going up? It's actually starting to look like a building. And with that building going up and the ministry being blessed by God, today's truth, today's passage of Scripture is probably the most important, timely Scripture for us that could possibly be. Now, I just want to remind you, before I read Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8 specifically, that Romans 1 through 11, the Holy Spirit, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, is telling us what God the Father and Jesus His Son has done for every believer who's ever lived. It's all about what God has done for you. And so then in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, the very first word of that chapter is therefore. So when we read Romans chapter 12 verses 3 through 8, this is part of the therefore. Because of what God through Christ has done for you, here's the least reasonable response back to Him, a response of thanks. Romans chapter 12, I'm going to start reading at verse 3. For by the grace given to me, Paul said, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually we're members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, the one we'll look at today, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So we started last week, and I just want to give you the definition again in case you weren't here, or if you were here, just to remind you what a lay person's definition is for a spiritual gift. So I think it'll be up here on the screen. It is a God-given ability which enables a believer to effectively serve the body of Christ. Your spiritual gift is not just a natural ability. Your spiritual gift is really, according to Scripture, a supernatural ability. It's given by God. And the purpose, according to Scripture, and I hope this definition bears that out. The purpose is not for you, the person who received the gift. It's for the greater body of Christ, for the gift to be used. However God has gifted you, He's done it for the purpose of the person right next to you. So the purpose is to build up and for the common good of the body of Christ. That's the purpose of the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit bestows on believers. Now today we're going to be looking at the gift specifically in verse 7 of Romans chapter 12 called serving. And I think the same idea, same gift is said to be in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28 called helping. I think they're one and the same. There's a little nuance of difference. We'll look at that in just a second. But the gift of serving, the gift of helping. So Romans chapter 12 verse 7 says, if you've been given the gift of service, then be about serving. If service in our serving. Now let's just do a couple of housekeeping things here this morning, and let's look up the two words, serving and helping, and let's make sure we have the definition right, and then there'll be plenty of time to make some good practical application for the body of Christ. So the word that's found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 7, if service in our serving, the same exact word, is the word diakonia, or where we would get our word deacon from. It's where we get our word deacon from. It most fundamentally means an attendant or one who waits tables. That's probably not new to any of you. As the word was used in the Greek language, it came to mean one who executes the commands of another. And then as it got into the Word of God and the Spirit of God plucked that Greek word and put it into the Bible, it came to mean one who meets the physical needs of another. Often, helpers, servers, are behind-the-scenes people. Not always, but often, especially as you read it in Scripture. This particular word for serving is found over 70 times in the New Testament. I'll just give you one. Jesus went and healed Peter's mother-in-law. And it says that she rose up and she served him. That seems like a good visual picture for serving God. She was healed, she rose up, and she served him. I think that's what the Holy Spirit is getting at here. Now, let me just give you a practical application before we go to the second word, helping. How many here, men, have been in the room with your wife when she's giving birth? Raise your hand. Okay, you know, maybe this is embarrassing because, you know, some of you didn't get there or whatever, however that it goes. How many were out in the hallway smoking? No, I won't do that. So a husband who is tending to his wife in labor, help me with this, guys, is eager to do what she says and needs. Amen? She says, I need ice chips. What do? You get her ice chips. She needs her back rub. What do? You rub her back, and while you're rubbing her back, you thank God it's not the other way around. She says, hold my hand. You hold her hand. She says, get a nurse or a doctor. You go get the nurse and the doctor. The idea of serving is that you have somebody who gave their life for you, and he's asking, would you serve my body on my behalf? The second word is the word helping. I said it's found in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28. It's a little bit different word, and it's worth spending just a little bit of time on it. I have the Greek word up there on the screen. The Greek word is made up of two words, and this is very important. It means in exchange for and to take hold of. It literally has the idea a helper does is one who takes hold of another person's burden. So this gift of helping, you come along, you see somebody is weighed down in life, physically, mentally, spiritually, socially, whatever it is, and a helper comes and takes the burden off of that person. It almost always, when it's used, has the idea of timely assistance, of freshening support. When you take this word and you put the other word for serving with it, here's the idea that comes out. To have the gift of helping and serving, you would be one who advances another's interest at the expense of your own. I think of my mom. During the school year, she would work during the days. During the summer, she would work nights. I didn't realize it then. I know now. That was very difficult to make that changeover. She would do anything to make sure that her kids advanced. So helping, serving is one that you might recognize, maybe yourself, one who advances another's interests at the expense of their own. Now, here's a key truth, and I want you to write it down, memorize it, meditate on it, and think about it, because this is where this gift fits into the greater body of Christ. Servants, helpers, enable others to use their spiritual gifts. Servants and helpers enable others to use their spiritual gifts. Matter of fact, I'll say in a little bit that they take great joy in freeing other people up to do other things they have no desire themselves to do. So servants and helpers enable others to use their spiritual gifts. Now there's a couple of classic examples in Scripture. Let me give you two of them, and then I'm going to give you a practical today example. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 6. If you don't want to turn, the Scripture is going to be up here on the screen. And let me read the first four verses of Acts chapter 6. We looked at this a couple of months ago. So we're thinking about the truth about servants and helpers enable others to use their spiritual gifts. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Now in those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. That's what the ESV says. By the way, the word daily distribution is our word servant. It's diakonia. It's waiting the tables. It's distributing. You're being an attendant. So there's the word right there. And the 12 disciples, apostles, summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables." There's the word again, serve tables. "Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of spirit, wisdom, whom we'll appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to," here's the word again, "the ministry of the word." So a servant and a helper in this example is somebody who steps in and fulfills a need that is clearly there, in order that other people gifted in other areas can do what God has gifted them to do. You step in, you help, so others may fully use their spiritual gift for the greater benefit of the body of Christ. By the way, deacons, which we, I think, have seven right now, we'll be nominating three new men for deacon. Deacons are the kind of recognized servants. That should be an oxymoron probably, but they're the recognized servants. And what they do is they take a number of needs off of the plate so the elders can give themselves to the prayer and the ministry of the word. That's the main function of the deacons. But today's truth is that we're all called to deek. We're all called to deek. So Acts chapter 6, 1 through 4. Now turn to Romans chapter 16, and let's meet this really cool lady by the name of Phoebe. Romans chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. I have this scripture up there as well. Paul wrote at the end of the letter that we're looking at right now. He said, "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant," there's the word right there that we're talking about, "of the church at Centuria, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many." That means a helper, a great servant, somebody who would do anything for the body of Christ. "And she's been a helper, a patron of myself as well." So here's the cool thing that you might miss just reading that little snippet. So Paul would write a letter, 13 of them for sure in the New Testament Paul wrote. And he would write the letter wherever he was at, in jail or wherever he was at, and then he would give it to a trusted friend to deliver it. In this case, most scholars believe Phoebe, this lady servant, was the deliverer of the epistle to the Romans all the way from Corinth to Rome, 793 miles. So Paul trusted her, and she traveled with the epistle of Romans in her, I don't know if that's what they called them back then, in her purse. She had Romans, the original document, in her purse. She carried it for him. So without spending a lot of time here, I want you to think about this a second. Paul wrote it, but Phoebe delivered it. Both were necessary for you and I to read it today. or to be transformed by it going forward. As I was thinking about Phoebe, I mean, more than likely she did not know the value. I mean, if you had that document in your hand today, it would be priceless, literally. Here she is, she's delivering it. Paul wrote it, Phoebe delivered it so that we can read it. Now here's the thing about servants and helpers, servers and helpers. Servers and helpers get to be a major part of something much bigger than themselves. For this to take place, for me to stand here this morning, at least 100 people had to do something for this to take place this morning. So this service this morning and me preaching right now is the result of probably at least 100 people, if not more, doing something behind the scenes that they're not standing up here right now. Servants and helpers, I want to encourage you, you get to be a major part of something much bigger than yourselves. Now, let me give you a very current example of this that I came across actually just yesterday. Let me introduce you to a guy. I don't know if any of you have ever met this guy. His name is Lex Gillette. I've never met him either. But in his area, he's a world record long jumper. So take a look at him. He's a world record long jumper. In his division, he jumped 22 feet 1 inches. Do you know what's extraordinary about Lex? He's blind. He's totally 100% blind. He holds the world record in the Paralympics, and I think that he's either jumping, he either jumped yesterday or today or tomorrow, one of these next few days, he's jumping over in Brazil. Here's the thing. Lex is virtually helpless without his best friend, Wes Williams. Go to the next. The guy on the left in the red is Wes Williams. He's been with Lex for 10 years, since 2007. Lex has, go back to that last picture. Lex has no way of knowing where to run and how to get in shape, so they're constantly touching as they run. Everywhere they go, they're touching. Matter of fact, go to the next picture. This is a picture right before Lex is going to take off and run. What Wes does is he walks him to the very line and lines them up. And the runway that Lex goes down is 4 foot wide. So he gets him exactly lined up and he gets him okay. And then what Wes does is he goes 110 foot down the runway. And he starts clapping his hands. And they've practiced so much as he claps his hands and as it gets quicker, Lex realizes he's getting closer to the board where he's going to jump off. Now, if you go to the next slide, this is in 2012, and I'm not sure, but I think this might have been the world record jump. There's Wes in the yellow. There's Lex jumping. And what happens is there's 16 strides to get there, 110 feet. Lex is 6'1". As he gets closer and closer to the very point where he has to jump off, the clapping gets quicker and quicker and quicker. And right at the board, Wes goes, fly, fly, fly. And that's his signal to take off. Lex said, if I can't hear him, if he's not there, it's devastating. Because if I can't hear, then I can't see. Now, I didn't have the video up here because it's a little bit gruesome, but in the World Championships last year, there was so much crowd noise, Lex could not hear Wes. And it's all on video. So Lex takes off running this 4 foot wide path, and within about 20 feet, he's off of the path. Now, he realizes something ain't right because of the feel of the surface, and so he veers back onto the path. And then as he's running full steam ahead, he goes off of the path. And then right at the end, he hears Wes's voice and he realizes he's way too far to the left. So he jumps as hard and fast as he can to the right. You know what happened to him? He missed the sand pit. He landed, feet extended, on his rump, on concrete, because he couldn't hear Wes's voice. He said in an interview, "Without Wes, I don't jump." Servants, helpers, they're the ones who advance another's interest, often at the expense of their own. And God says the body of Christ needs a whole group of Wesses, and I would agree with it. I got four practical things I want to just share with you about this gift of serving and helping. But just before I do, you say, well, do I have this gift? Is this a part of who I am? Is this the place that God's given me in the body of Christ? And by the way, there are, according to Scripture, varieties of ministries. That means multitudes upon multitudes. That means as creative as you can be, there's a way to serve. And some people are even specially gifted in specific areas. But let me just give you a couple. Really, Charles Stanley has a book. I know John Feldman has taught through it a number of times and done a great job. But let me give you just a couple of characteristics just to help you kind of figure out, do you maybe have this gift of serving, helping? A person with the gift of serving and helping is always alert to the physical and material needs of another, and you desire to meet them. There's something in you when God gives you this gift that you want to help. You may even say, I wish I could do more. I wish I could help. I just feel this need. I feel this burden. I want to do something. I've got to do something. And if you don't do it, you feel like you failed. You almost can't help to help. You seek to bless others if you have this gift. And when you have this gift, you're not looking to do the bare minimum. If you have the gift of serving and helping, praying for somebody is never enough. It's good. So you seek to bless others, and you don't just meet a bare minimum. Just another couple of things. You rejoice when you know that by you doing something for someone or for the body of Christ or for Lakeside, that'll free somebody up to do something else. You receive joy when you know you can take something off of somebody's plate. Another characteristic, this isn't necessarily on the positive side, but I guess maybe it is as well. You often overextend yourself in meeting other people's needs or meeting Lakeside's needs, and you often ignore your own. Now, that's not a license to continue living like that. But you're so into serving that often your own needs go met. And sometimes, as a pastor, I have to step in and talk to somebody because you're not even meeting the needs of your own family. You're so into serving, and I understand that. If you have this gift of serving and helping, often you're happier behind the scenes than up front. In reading about this gift, numerous people said that this is the high percentage gift. And I think it's true that more people in the body of Christ would be gifted this way than maybe any other gift that are out there. Now four truths, and let's think through these four things, each and every one of them on their own is worth meditating and thinking about if you're a follower of Christ and you're part of the body of Christ. Number one, the first truth. We're all in this together, but each believer has their own part. So the truth, when you read Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4, is you have this body concept. And we're all in this together, the body of Christ, but everybody has a specific part to play. A specific part. Isn't it true, and I've learned as a dad this year, and learned in my own life in other years. Isn't it true that we don't realize how dependent we are on every part of our body until a single part is incapacitated? This year I got two sons. One snapped his Achilles heel, and he on his way to Colorado to go hiking. Well, he's not going to go hiking in Colorado. Another one messed up his entire knee. Young guys and vibrant guys, and yet for a time they have people. They need people to drive them around. There's a doctrine that's taught in Scripture that theologians call the priesthood of all believers. And coming out of the church background that I came out of, I couldn't believe it the very first time I heard about this doctrine, the priesthood of all believers. In other words, there's not one person that has the right to go to God on behalf of a whole group of people. God expects every believer to be a priest in their own right, straight access to God in serving the body of Christ. Elders, leaders, are to train up the rest of the members for them to do the work of the ministry. In the New Testament, there's no such thing as a professional ministry. Several paid people doing the work while everybody else looks on, and praise God, that's not what Lakeside is. The doctrine of the priesthood of all believers, if you are a genuine believer, demands 100% ministry participation from you if you're a believer. So we're all in this together, but each believer has their own part. Truth number two, and I'm just going to say right now, right up front, before we even talk about it, so it's faithfulness over giftedness. In a series on giftedness, you'd think the pastor wouldn't say that. But this is more true than any phrase I've ever shared in my entire life. I want you to memorize it. I want you to meditate on it. If you're crafty, I want you to paint it on a palette and hang it on your living room wall. If you're one given to tattoos, tattoo it on your body. Stick it on a sticky in your mirror, teach it to your kids, tell it to your wife, whatever you want to do. Faithfulness over giftedness. If I had that right section over there, who are all lead pastors of a church, they would all be standing up right now and they'd be saying, "Preach it, brother, preach it." Faithfulness over giftedness. I'm even going to say that faithfulness is more important than your giftedness. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required of stewards. Stewards are somebody that's been given something from God to be distributed to the people. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Now, I want you to look at Romans chapter 12 and notice a little word that you more than likely skipped over, as I did, until I studied the passage. And it's the little two-letter word, in. Now notice what it says. Verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity. In generosity. Here's what Paul, the Holy Spirit, is trying to say when it comes to serving. As you say, this is how God made me up. This is how God's prepared me. This is God's plan for my life. He's saying, get into it. Like, get into it. If you're a server and a helper, then just do it. Like, get into it. There's a kind of a worldly song that's out there right now. I don't know. Maybe it's Justin Bieber. I can't remember who sings it. But the little phrase is he's singing to another guy or to a girl, and he says, he's just not that into you. Does anybody know that song? Don't tell me if you do. I don't care. So we use that. He's just not that into you. Paul's saying, get into it, whatever your gift is. Don't try to say, but I want to do that over there. No, he says, get into what I've called you to do. Stop thinking about that person over there and get into what I've called you to do. Just do it. Romans 12, 6 says, just let us use them. Let us use them. Now listen as I say this, because I don't want to be taken out of context. The server and the helper isn't necessarily saying that job's too big for me. The server and the helper is saying there's no job too small for me. There's no job too small. One of the tendencies of the gift of serving and helping is you look at the more public gifts and part of your heart says, man, why couldn't I do that? Why can't I be recognized like that? Why couldn't? And Satan creeps in there and he speaks to you and you get discontented with what God purposed you to be. Now listen to me. Giftedness without faithfulness always equals pridefulness. Always. You have the gift, but you're not using it. You're not faithful with it. You may be dreaming of something bigger, or that's too little for me. Giftedness without faithfulness equals pridefulness. It creates more havoc in a church than a bowl in a china shop. It's almost obnoxious to be around somebody who is highly gifted, but they won't use their giftedness in the area that God has asked them to serve. John MacArthur said this: the most difficult thing for me in ministry is trying to do what gifted people designed to do aren't doing. Let me say it again. John MacArthur, who pastors a big church in California, he loves the Word of God, said the most difficult thing in ministry for him is trying to do what gifted people designed to do aren't doing. And so there's a need here, and the gifted people aren't doing it, so somebody who's not really gifted by God in that area steps in to do it. It's never God's design. So don't wait for someone to ask you or to recognize you or to honor you. Just serve. Just serve. Now, sadly, God's word actually commands every one of us to serve. It says in Scripture, serve one another with love. So even though there's a giftedness for this, there's a command for all of us. And I was thinking to myself, why would God have to command servants to serve? And we're commanded to serve one another in love. And I think the reason why the command is there is because some of you here today need to be told to serve. Some of you actually need to be commanded. You're sitting on the sides, you're soaking in the blessings of God, but you're not serving the greater body of Christ. So to you, he says, serve one another with love. He commands you to serve. Truth number three. And as I look out here and I think about Lakeside, and last night went through the members and their families, and the regular attenders and their families. And there's 400 some names on there, and I was going through every name. I was like, thank you, Lord, for these people that are in Lakeside. So here's where I want to encourage the servers and the helpers. And this is as true as anything else I've said today. The less public part is the most important part. I want to encourage you, if you have the gift of serving and helping this morning, the less public part is the most important part. That's what God says. Most of you at Lakeside who are servants and helpers, and there's many of you, you're never going to preach a sermon. You don't like the limelight. You would get nervous if I asked you to step up here and speak. Maybe you'd get nervous if I asked you to step up and give a testimony or even pray. You'd start getting the cold chills. But Lakeside could not function without you. You are to the church what blood is to the body, without which it dies. Your service, from my perspective, as the lead elder, your service to the Lord is more important than the one who leads the parade. Because without gifted helpers and servers, there is no parade. This does not happen. God bless the helpers and the servers. Without you, the real truth is there's no Lakeside. I wish I could play you a video of the very first year that this 20-some adults got together and we covenanted to start a church, and wild Cheryl down there, you know how she just talks so much all the time, you know Cheryl, no, she hardly ever talks, I got to try to get her to talk all the time. Everybody covenanted to go out and knock on doors. That meant that Cheryl and little Cody 11 years ago are by themselves knocking on doors. They're just serving. They're just, what's the need? What do we need to do? I wouldn't necessarily say that's in her wheelhouse or that's her giftedness, but she served. God bless the helpers and the servers. As I look at it, it's like a mighty army of workers who give without any thought of return, who labor for hours behind the scenes. Now, anytime I do a list, I'm not listing names, by the way, but anytime I do a list, I'm going to miss something. That's not my intention. But let me just give you a short list that I came up with, and just off the top of my mind, these servants and these helpers, they stuff bulletins on Friday. They bake and serve cookies. They stack chairs. They hook up the trailer. They come early to make coffee. They mow yards. They bring meals. They help others move. They fix cars. They count money. They suck up water out of the basement. And if the new owner is there, we don't have that problem anymore. They decorate the stage, they run the sound, they greet at the doors, they work in the nursery, on and on and on. God bless you 1,000 times over and over and over. The title of today, I think it's the title of today, let me look and make sure, True Greatness. Who's the most Christ-like person at Lakeside? I don't know for sure. But I know where you find them. You'll find them in the list of servers and helpers. That's where it's got to be. Because Jesus said, the greatest among you shall be your servant. The greatest among you shall be your servant. If God has graced you with the gift of serving and helping, then he has gifted you to be the greatest in his kingdom. And anybody who's ever been helped by a server or helper, what would you say to that? Amen. Absolutely amen. And so from the bottom of my heart, from the elders, out to everyone who claims Lakeside as their church family, I say thank you, thank you, and thank you. Now the last truth of all is where we will end every one of the next 7 weeks. Because it's true, every gift that we're going to look at, Jesus is the greatest servant of all. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. Jesus' own words, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Do you know the rest of it? Say it with me. And to give his life a ransom for many. The most Christ-like person here today is the server and the helper, serving in their giftedness, looking out for the interests of another person, at the expense of their own interests themselves.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Lakeside Fellowship Podcast. If you have any questions about this message, or if you'd like more information about our church, please don't hesitate to contact us. Thanks. We'll see you next week.